Let's do that too. Welcome. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Okay, Vernon. I'm sorry, Vernon. I can't resist. Who's your best friend? And? Back at you. Okay. Tonight, or today, and this evening as well, there's a special movie down at the Regal Riverstone Theater in Coeur d'Alene. You've probably seen this advertised. My wife and I are going down there. We're leaving about 1:30. If anyone wants to join us, you're welcome to join us. And I encourage you to see it somehow, sometime. There's a 3 o'clock showing today, and then later one at 5:50. Excellent film, same ones that produced War Room, if you saw that. They were even interviewed on Fox News had a lot of good stuff to say about that. Okay, let us know if you want to go with today. Shannon?
Randy,
I thought she looked familiar. Randy, sorry, we do this to everybody. Don't feel too embarrassed or like proud like you're really special. Randy, and who's with you?
This is my daughter, Skyla.
Skyla. Hi, Skyla. Okay. Glad you're with us. Next Sunday, we'll return to the Summer Song Series with the request. And he's not here today. Steve had requests. I hope he's here next Sunday. It'll be a second time somebody requested a song, and then they weren't here the Sunday that I preached on it. Go Rest High on That Mountain. It'll be kind of a capper to the Heaven Series we're enjoying presently. And then 2 weeks from today, it's going to be the 8th of September, and we're going to be meeting down at City Beach Pavilion for a special worship time with singer Rebecca Hoosby. Remind you that there's a poster out there on the bulletin board. Her picture's on there. She's also part of the Freedom Festival coming up in September as well. But she's with us that Sunday, and then we're going to have baptisms. Presently, there are 4 that I know of that want to be baptized. Let me know if you are wanting to be also or rebaptized. And they're not here, but Butch and Colleen will be wedded together. And so we're going to eat in between the baptismal and the wedding so that gives them time to change and be ready for the wedding. Okay? And that's going to be a potluck. I think, Anita, we're bringing some kind of food and drinks, aren't we? And then just bring stuff like we normally do here to share together. Okay, anything else on that? I guess that's it. Also coming up at the Panada, that weekend of the 12th, it's not showing the 13th, but the 14th and 15th, also another movie called Favorite. I don't know as much about this one, but we'll find out more about it. Yes, Mike? Based on a true story.
The movie shows how we're all God's favorites.
How we're all God's favorites. Okay. At the Panada. Wheelchair access, he said. So good. Thank you, Mike. All right. Well, we'll remind you of that as it comes closer as well. And then there it is, the Freedom Fest out at the fairgrounds. The weekend, that same weekend. That's a Saturday, most of the day. And we'll tell you more about that as it comes along as well. Rebecca is there, the only lady on the screen there. Okay. Any other announcements I'm forgetting or missing? If not, front of your bulletin depicts the heaven's gate again open wide for us. And from Psalm 23, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes. All right. Amen. Let's bow our heads and thank God for that promise. Thank you, Father, as we come into your house again today, as always. We're mindful that we have the freedom to do so. We thank you for that. Thank you for each one that is here. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to unite together in our worship and praise of you and to open our hearts to what you have for us today. Through your word, we pray your blessing on Kathy as she shares with us. And help us, Lord, to just receive what you have and apply it into our lives. And thankful for that promise of heaven that we look forward to. Those that are there waiting for us to reunite together. A lot of good stuff that she's going to continue to remind us of today. Lord, we're mindful of those who are not able to be with us today. We lift up Sue and Beth Ann especially. Pray your healing touch for both of them. And Lord, help us to just honor and glorify you in everything today in your son's name. Amen. Stand. Oh. Oh, I knew there was one missing. Whoa, wow. Okay, good. Thank you for tolerating my little, you know what, every week. That's praise to the Lord is what that is. Joyful noise, that's what that is. Okay, my wife and I are going to trade places. She's going to come up here and share more good news about heaven. And keep her in your prayers as she does.
Coming. Coming. Here I come. Okay, good morning, good morning, good morning. Is anybody dragging this morning?
Yes.
I really am dragging this morning.
Lula has some dragon egg.
Oh, Lula. That reminds us. Lula has some dragon egg cucumbers. They look interesting, interesting. So, well, we hit the North Idaho State Fair with our daughter and son-in-law Friday, and then we hit the Bonner County Fair yesterday. So I'm kind of with it. But God is in me and his Holy Spirit's working through me. So we're ready to go, huh? Yeah. So, okay, last week I shared part one of heaven, God's eternal goodness to you. And our theme verse for this is Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy. What's he
saying?
Woo, Johnny! Very good. Very good. Yes, that is so wonderful. Bless you, Johnny. Well, I've got a little bit of a story about this verse here. So there was a little boy, Timmy, and he thought he was big enough to walk to school on his own. He didn't want his mom walking him to school. So the mom reluctantly agreed, but she had a plan B. She asked her neighbor who walked her little girl to school if she would follow Timmy at a distance to be sure he got there. So Timmy and his friend, they're walking to school, and they do this. And about a week later, Timmy's friend looks at Timmy and he says, you know, I think a lady is following us every day to school. And Timmy says, oh, I know she's doing that. And the friend says, well, do you know who she is? And he says, yes, I know who she is. Every night my mom prays for me because she worries a lot, and she has me quote the 23rd Psalm, and it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of life. And so that's surely goodness and mercy, and they're following me, and I guess I'll just have to get used to it. Anyhow, okay, well, anyhow, surely goodness and mercy, it says love, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So now God's goodness is connected with our forever life. And so I want to review real quick what we did last week. So last week we looked at what is heaven. We looked at that it's a physical place. It's a real place. It's not just da-da-da out there somewhere. And it's a permanent place that will last forever. And it's a reserved place only for those who are part of God's family, only for those who have accepted forgiveness through the cleansed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. So, and we looked at, so we compared what we know on earth won't be there, because it's kind of, it's beyond our capability to understand what heaven will really be like. So we kind of looked at earth and how heaven's going to be different, earth won't, what won't be there, so we could kind of get a glimpse at how wonderful it'll be. So we looked at this verse, and it says he will wipe away every tear from our eye, no sadness, and there will be no more death, because we'll live forever. And, or there'll be no mourning or crying, no sadness, and or no pain. Woohoo! No arthritis or anything like that. For the old order of things passed away. And then I did not, John says, I did not see a temple there. Because it'll all be the temple, the whole thing, because the Lord, Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city does not need the sun or moon to shine, because the glory of God gives its light and the Lamb is its lamp. So God, Jesus is so bright, don't even need the sun and moon. And no day will its gates ever be shut, because there will be no night there. Gals, no curfew, huh? No curfew, because there's no night there. So woohoo, they say. Okay, and then next, nothing impure will ever enter, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, because no sin will enter there, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I want to go there, you know? Okay, so let's kind of read. So then we looked at, well, what will we do in heaven? So we said we will be reunited with our loved ones. Boy, a big reunion party. And then we will be rewarded for those things we did here on earth for our based on our faith, hope, and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we will be rewarded. Okay, so that's what we did last week. And this week I want to add four more things that we will do in heaven. And so the next thing I want to add is that we will rest. We will rest. Let's, somebody read Revelation 14, 13. Who has that, I think, Alan?
Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them.
We will rest from our labor. Now, there's something really interesting here that I would like you to see. This word rest in this scripture is a Greek word for kapos. And I'm going to tell you the definition from the Complete Word Study Bible, dictionary of the Bible. And it tells us that the meaning here is not so much the work, but the weary effort that we receive from work. So it's used to note, not to explain the actual work, but the weariness, the tiredness, the exhaustion that we get from working. And so in heaven, we're going to rest not from the work, because I'll explain that better, but from the weariness that it just takes to live life on this earth. So we'll rest from this work, and it'll be like a huge sigh of relief. Won't that be wonderful? No. Boy, I'm really looking forward to that, because I'm tired these days. So that's going to be so awesome. We will rest from the weariness that work causes. Okay, then let's look at the next. We will worship and sing to God and Jesus. Somebody read Revelation 19 and Revelation 15, whoever has those voices.
19. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass flowing with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast, in its image and over the number of its name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Almighty Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations.
In chapter 19, we see this four times. I only gave you one verse, but four times hallelujah was actually shouted. So we're going to be shouting and singing. And it said that there was a great multitude shouting this hallelujah. And it's like sounded like the rushing waters. So be great shouting and praising. And we'll sing the song of God that Moses sang to Jesus and the Lamb. So I think that we all know that in heaven we're going to be singing and worshiping God. And so I won't spend a lot of time on that. But the great thing is we're going to have a perfect singing voice. And I'm really looking forward to that, to having a perfect singing voice. So being a part of the Pomeroy fam, what did he say?
He's already got one. A perfect voice.
Oh, he does? Well, I was just about to say, being a part of the Pomeroy family, I married into it and I didn't bring a singing voice with me. You know, they all had it. So anyhow, I'm going to rejoice in heaven and have a perfect singing voice. Okay, number five, we will fellowship and eat with one another. So who has Revelation, Luke, and Hebrews?
Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven.
So, did you see that? Wedding, supper, feast, joyful assembly with angels, no less. And the church, this all implies fellowship and eating with one another. Joy and celebration. One of the verses says they'll take their place at the feast, that they will recline. I see a hand up.
Sorry, just want to make sure everyone knows that will be forever food and fellowship fair.
That's good. A forever food and fellowship fair. He's pretty good sometimes, isn't he? Just once in a while. But yes, so we will be fellowshipping with one another. So that one of the verses said that they'll take their places at the table. There's a Greek word for that means recline. And you know, in the New Testament, they reclined at the table, not like we do today. You know, actually, Pastor John, since Johnny's there, we don't even sit down to the table. But you know, and that happens in many families. You're rushing and eating, but they'll recline at the table. And the recline means that they ate and they fellowshiped with one another and they lingered and they took their time. Oh, won't that be wonderful? That's what we'll do in heaven. We will fellowship and eat with one another, and no rush and no pressure. So that will be wonderful. Then, next, we will do work that we enjoy. So here's the work part. You know, when in God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he gave them work to do, so no less in heaven. Let's look at Genesis 2:15.
The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it.
Yeah, to work it and take care of it in the Garden of Eden. So we're going to be assigned work that we enjoy doing. Because God knows us, he knows our character, he knows, you know, he created us, you know, he knows what talents and gifts and whatever that we have. And so he's going to give us work to do. Now, as I pointed out earlier, that we're going to rest from our labor, not work. We're going to rest from the weariness. So we'll rest from the kind of work that makes us weary. But we will be given assignments in the kingdom of God. But the difference is that it won't be frustrating work or exhausting work, but it'll be work that we enjoy doing. It's going to be lots of fun. Let's look at Matthew 25:21.
His master Jesus replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.
So this verse says that when you get to heaven, God's going to put you in charge of something, but it's going to be based on how well you managed what you were given here on earth. If you were faithful in even just the little things that God gave you, he's going to give you a whole lot more to be in charge of in heaven. But it's, again, it's going to be based on how well you managed what you did here on earth. And whatever it is, it's going to be all happiness because it says, come and share in my master's happiness. So we're going to enjoy work that we're doing. And part of that work is going to be reigning. Think of that? You think of yourselves as kings and queens, reigners and rulers? Well, let's look at some scriptures that say that. Let's look at 2 Timothy and Revelation 22.
If we endure, we will also reign with him. There will be no more night. There will not need the light. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever.
Yes, if we endure through the hardships of Christ, we will reign with him. Life is not easy on earth, and life was not easy for Christ either here on earth. But if we hang in there the way Christ did, we will reign with him. Now, what does that mean that we're going to reign forever and ever? Well, this week I listened to two sermons by John MacArthur on heaven, and I really love the way he put it. He says, I believe in eternity we will have ongoing and eternal responsibility for some portion of God's eternal kingdom. Each of us will share a sphere of responsibility and authority of rulership where we co-reign with Christ forever and ever. So we're each going to have our sphere of authority and rulership. So on one area, we might have our sphere of rulership, and then in one area, one of you might have your sphere of rulership over one of the others. So it's just, it's more amazing and wonderful than we can imagine. And so, but we're each going to have our sphere. And so that's amazing to think. And it's going to be joy and fun. And so we will work by reigning and then also by serving. Let's look at Revelation 22, 3 through 5.
No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him.
Yes, his servants will serve him. Now, this Greek word for servants here is bond servants, and it was those who did the priestly work. The priestly work implies an intimacy with God. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, there was the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies, the priest only entered once a year. But the holy place, the priest entered often, and there was the candlestick, the showbread, the incense, and they went in there often and took care of that. And it was a place of intimacy with God. And so now, we will serve God in heaven. We will have access to God in a more intimate way than we can imagine. We will have just right there with him and fellowship with him. So we will serve him as we've never known him. And then our service, again, will be related to our service on earth. John MacArthur, this is another quote that I like. He says, what we do with our privilege to serve him here will determine what God does with us in letting us serve him there. So we will reign with Christ. We will do work with. We will have work that we enjoy. We'll be assigned work, and that work will be reigning and serving. And you know what? This is not in my notes. I'm going to get off a little bit. But this week I've been reading the Book of Luke, and this week I read the passage where it says that we will recline at the table, and where the master said he needs his servants to be ready and get ready, and then when they're ready, the master will return, and he's going to put on clothes and serve them. So God's going to be serving us as we serve him. Isn't this just going to be so wonderful? I'm getting chills here. So therefore, this life here is like the preschool before school. It's like the warm-up act or the dress rehearsal before the real story. So how are you using what God has given you on this earth? Are you using it well? Well, then guess what? In heaven, God's going to give you more. He's going to give you more of it. Now, unfortunately, most people don't use what God's given well, you know. But I just want to encourage you, I want to encourage myself, all of us, to use what God has given us here on earth well. The here and now is going to be gone in just like that. The Bible says it'll be gone in a twinkling of an eye, compared to the millions and millions and trillions of years that beyond our imagination that we'll have in heaven. So I think God probably has a lot more in mind for us. But as far as we know, we will be reunited with our loved ones. We will receive rewards for the good that we have done in Jesus' name. And we will rest. We'll worship and sing. We will fellowship with and eat together. And we will do work that we enjoy that will never make us tired. But so many times we get focused on this earth. In your bulletin, you all have a Bible reading for this week. I hope you use those and read those. I know Beth Ann and Mike are always sharing what they've read for the Bible readings. But on the back of it's blank. And on the back of that, in the center, I want you to draw a dot. Turn your Bible readings over. It's blank. And I want you to draw a dot in the center. Do that right now. Just draw a dot in the center of that blank sheet on the back. Draw a dot there. Y'all got your dot drawn? Okay. So, imagine, look at that dot. What do you see the most of? When you look at the paper, what gets your attention? When you just look at it, the dot gets your attention. But look at how much more paper there is than the dot. And that's the way it is with our life here. Heaven is, and eternity is so much more than our life on this earth. But unfortunately, the dot or the life on this earth gets our attention. So what we want to look at then is, how should we live here on this earth if we're going to heaven? And I've got 7 tips for you how to live on this earth if we're going to heaven. So first of all, remember that our time here is temporary. Okay? Remember that. Let's look at Philippians 3:20.
But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, our citizenship is in heaven. Ephesians tells us that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. And then it also says we are strangers and aliens in this world. In Cyprus, we had these little cards that said we were aliens when we were there. But we were aliens there because our physical citizenship was here in the United States. But we are strangers and aliens. Our citizenship is in heaven. So we are to, if you go back, remember last week I said that we need to have an eternal perspective while we're living this life. Our life here needs to be life with eternal perspective. So remember that our time here is temporary. Okay? Then the next one. Recognize what's going to last and what won't last, okay? Remember last week I said that we could waste time, we could waste our life, we could spend our life, or we could invest our life. And the key is to invest our life in things that are going to last. All right? Invest your life in eternity. Really, remember when we read The Purpose-Driven Life, and I'll refer to that again, but when the opening line is, it's not about you. Well, really, when we think about life, it's not about you. It's not about the here and now. It's about eternity, and we need to live life with that eternal perspective. Let's see what 1 John 2:17 says. Who has that?
The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever.
Right. This world and all the things is all going to be gone, but when we do the will of God, when we make eternity our perspective, then we'll live forever. Okay, number three, reject the world's values and priorities. So this is how we're going to live here if we're going to heaven. All right, the world has three values, and those three values are to have possessions, to feel pleasure, and to just live for self. Okay, and all of these say, I know better than God, you know, and I want to do whatever I like, I want to do what I want, and I want to do what I want when I want. And so they all just reject God. But let's see what Jesus says in Luke and in Matthew.
Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal.
Right. Now, you know, we have to have our homes and you know, our food and our clothes and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But Jesus said, be on your guard. Don't get greedy about it. What we are possessions, don't get greedy about our possessions, but what? Store up treasures in heaven. And we don't even have to worry about them, someone breaking in and stealing them. Store up treasures in heaven is what Jesus said. So, okay, number six. How am I doing, John? I think he thought I was, when I said I had 11 points, he thought I was going to, number four. But he said, I think he thought I was going to be too long-winded. But anyhow, I'm doing okay. All right, thank you. All right, so number six, don't be deterred by temporary temptations. You know, Paul described life as a marathon. Let's look at Philippians 3.
I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Right. Paul told us to run the race as we're going to win the race, to press on, to have the finish line, the goal. The finish line is heaven, and it's a prize. Again, we're keeping heaven in perspective. We're living life from a heavenly perspective, and we got to press on because we have a prize waiting for us, and that prize is our eternal life. So we're going to press on. Let's go to number five, then. Refuse to be discouraged by trouble. Now, this is a tough one because we do get discouraged. But you know what? Remembering heaven can be a secret or a key to resilience and to endurance in this life. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4.
Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Okay, we fix our eyes on what is eternal. That, you know, when you're in the midst of trouble and just you can stop and just think about heaven and how glorious it will be. Wouldn't that make you feel better, make you feel encouraged, and make you want to continue to run that race? Refuse to be discouraged by trouble in this earth and fix our eyes on what is eternal, because we are achieving a greater glory that outweighs all of that, outweighs all of that. So then number six, reach out to bring others to heaven too. You know, why does God put you here on earth? Some of you were not here when we did the purpose-driven life, but there were five purposes: worship, fellowship, discipleship, stewardship, and evangelism. And so that's one of our purpose here on earth, is to reach out and bring others too. You know, evangelism, we can't do evangelism in heaven. We won't be able to bring others to Christ, because all those who have accepted Christ will already be there. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:11.
Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men.
Yeah. We try to persuade men, but it's up to God. You know, we do our part, and then the rest is up to him. So we try to persuade men. And Luke 16:9.
I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves for eternity, so that when it is gone, they will welcome you into eternal dwellings.
Yes, this is one of our key verses for Helping Hands, Healing Hearts. We use worldly wealth to make friends for eternity. And then if those friends go to heaven before you, they're going to welcome you into heaven. So use your worldly wealth. Use whatever God gives you to make friends for eternity, and they'll welcome you into heaven. And then let's look at the last one I have. Remind myself daily that heaven is waiting. If you remember when I shared right at the beginning that one of the reasons that this perked me is I piqued my interest is that I took that survey, and it's one of the things that says that I didn't think about heaven often enough. Well, let's look at Romans 8.
I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. We ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved.
For this hope, we are saved. We have a hope that's in our souls, brighter than the perfect day. It's the anchor within us. We have this hope. And so we need to remind ourselves daily of this hope. And it gives us encouragement, motivation to spur us on and to run the race and to win the race and to win the prize. So have you settled the heaven issue? I feel pretty confident that all of us here today have settled that have an issue. You know, I don't want to be mean, but you know, really, only a fool would go through life unprepared for what is inevitable, the end of life, you know? And we're not talking about some minor issue. We're talking about our eternal destiny forever and ever and ever. And so last week, you know, I shared that at the beginning of the sermon that right from the beginning, God created man with a choice, because he put the tree of the garden of knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the Garden of Eden. And so he created right from the beginning man with free will and freedom to make their own choice. Why did God do that? Because God is love, and he wanted a family to love him. There cannot be love, absolutely no way, without free will and without a choice. And so God gave us that choice to choose him. Our life on this earth is our opportunity to prove our choice for God or our choice for ourselves. Remember, God's not going to send anyone to heaven or hell. Going to heaven and hell is just going to be the reward or the consequence of your choice here on this earth. So, and God has done everything for us to make the choice for him. He's laid it out there, but we have to make it. He's given us life. He's given us health. He's given us his son, Jesus Christ, his blood on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life in heaven. God has laid that choice and given us everything to make that choice. But the choice is still ours. What is your choice? I'm choosing Jesus. I believe he's the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe he was true when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and take you there. I believe that. I make that choice, and I pray it's your choice too, and I think it is. So we're going to end with a song that says, Choose Life. Let's stand and sing and make the choice, Choose Life.
A choice is set before you now, living or dying. Blessing or cursing, no time has come around to turn from your fighting and rest in his mercy. Choose life that you might live, the life that he gives you forever. Life, the way that is true, for the one who chose you, your Father in heaven, choose life. Trust the Lord with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your hold on, listen and obey, surrender your life into his keeping. Choose life that you might live, the life that he gives you forever. Choose life. It's true, for the one who chose you, your Father in heaven, choose life. And the weight you're under will be lifted away. Happened here today. Yes, we'll stand right there and say we choose life that you might live, the life that he gives you forever, ever. And choose life the way that is true, for the one who chose you, your Father in heaven, choose life. La-da, la-da.
Thank you, Father, for your word and your spirit which speaks to us today. Reminds us of what you offer to us both now and for eternity. Thank you for this good word, and we just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to apply it in our lives, in the present, the choices we make each day, and how to serve you and to be used by you to lead others to eternity as well. What a privilege that is. So thankful, Lord, that you have made that possible through your Son, through your Spirit living in us, working through us. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to your Spirit's leading, your Spirit's voice, and obedient to those promptings that the Spirit gives to us. Thank you, Father, that we can be encouraged by one another, to know that we're not in this alone, that not only do you enable us, but we are lifted up and encouraged by one another. Help us to be faithful in that as well, to encourage a brother or sister today in the Lord. Thankful to know that as we do so, you are honored and glorified. You are lifted up and people are drawn to you as a result. We thank you, Lord, for this church family.